Hi, my name is Mike, and I am a marijuana addict. The 12 questions, those are good. As they say, if you answered yes to any of them, you may have a problem with marijuana. If you answered yes to all of them, then you're like me. So, family I grew up in moved around a lot. My dad was in the Air Force, so we'd stay a year here, a couple years there, I think at the most 3 years in any one location. But even with that, in the same area, it seems like we found an excuse to get a different apartment or something, a different house, or just move, even when we were stationed at the same place. So my childhood was spent making some friends and losing friends. And after a while, it's like, what's the point? So I'd say that I stopped making friends, and just stuck with my family of origin. We did visit our cousins, a fair amount through my childhood, so I did have a chance to grow up with some other kids on an extended basis, but that was kind of sporadic. Rules in our family was that drinking is for adults and kind of expected to drink as an adult. That's the socially acceptable thing to do. It's the cultural norm of the times, still is, quite frankly, in a lot of respects. Drugs were out of the question. They probably weren't discussed much, but it was just known that, don't go there. And I didn't. So I'd say in high school, I drank a little bit. Parents would give us some beer at parties, kind of to get us some training, I guess. In college, I drank quite a bit, more than some, less than others. So I'd say I was probably about average as far as I could tell. There was marijuana on the campus. I did not like the smell of it, so I just never went there. Got out of school, got my first job in my career, and started doing the adult things that you do. Kept on drinking. There were, lots of parties where I worked and lots of booze. And after a while, I kind of had the feeling that there might be a situation where I was going to try marijuana. And sure enough, I was on a road trip with some friends. A joint got passed around in the car, and as it came by me, I took some tokes and didn't really do anything. So, okay. A little while later, I was in another situation where a joint got passed around, and this time when I tried it, I got stoned, and I love the feeling of being stoned. I would say at that experience, I fell in love with the change of consciousness that pot could give me. At first, it was, mostly using it socially at parties and stuff. And over time, I gradually increased the use of it and started smoking on my own. At the time, I was living in Northern California and had access to, the Northern California Sensimilla. So there's definitely some, good strong pot running around, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. Spent several years up in that area, then moved and took an offer to start a company with some college friends of mine. And after, I don't know, a couple or 3 months, I got fired from that job. And I was devastated. I did not know how to handle that situation. It was. Because of that, I ended up getting into therapy, and through the therapist, I somehow heard about Al-Anon. And so I went to some Al-Anon, ACA, or Adult Children of Alcoholics meetings, and when I saw the steps and traditions written on the banners on the wall, I just bristled at the word God. That was not a part of my life. It was not anything I wanted as a part of my life. I did find some comfort in the meetings. What I will also say is I did not get it. Mostly, I kind of fumed and blamed my parents for my fucked up life. I did get a sponsor, but we didn't work the steps. Didn't ask him to. He didn't show me to. And, we'd go out to coffee every now and then, just, talk about whatever current affairs were going along. Eventually, I did get a job and, continued my career. For the most part, when I left companies, it was on because I wanted to leave, not because I got fired in general. I was also during this time, I did a lot of dating. I never got in a long-term relationship. I didn't, and I look back on it, and frankly, I didn't know how to be in a long-term relationship. I didn't know how to be open and intimate with another person. That wasn't part of my skill set. During those years, I did not realize that. I can recognize it now. So after, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, I stopped going to Al-Anon and didn't, like I say, it was, I was making limited use of it. So it's like, yeah, I'm done with that. I did get laid off from a company that I was kind of expecting to have that happen, and that's their euphemism for getting fired. But I also had something else already in the wings, and that was to go into business with a longtime friend of mine. We did that, and I don't know, after maybe 5 or so years, he said, "Well, I want to split up, and you take this half of the business, I take that half of the business, and I don't want to work with you anymore." So that was another shock to my system of being rejected. And I went back to program, went back to Al-Anon. I also ended up finding myself in the rooms of AA. And by this time, my pot smoking was daily. I mean, the people I hang out with, if you smoke pot, I'd be willing to hang out with you. If you didn't smoke pot, I'll do business with you, but I'm not going to hang out with you. And that was, my friends were definitely based on, my marijuana use and their marijuana use. There were periods when I was sober because of, reasons, external reasons that, made it, I'll say dangerous to smoke, beyond being just illegal. But I always went back to it. And when I, this time when I, and there were also a number of times I said, "Oh, I'm gonna give it up. It's not good for me." And I couldn't, some people talk about hiding your stash so you couldn't find it. Well, yeah, I hid my stash, but I knew exactly where I hid it, and there was no problem finding it because I kept track of where I hid my stash. That was important to me. So I've made a number of attempts to stop on my own. Didn't work. Anyway, after that business partnership went up in flames, I went back to program, and somehow or another, I found myself in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And a guy that I met there, actually first met in Al-Anon, he was in both programs, asked him to be my sponsor, and he did show me through the steps. When I first started on step one, and even in the rooms of AA, if I substituted marijuana for alcohol, I could say, "Yes, I belong here." But I didn't have the same craving for alcohol that I heard other people talk about, and it wasn't the same craving that I had for pot. Now, that's not to say I didn't abuse alcohol. I certainly did. And, times when marijuana wasn't around, alcohol was a readily available substitute, and I made use of that. What I came to after a few months of wrangling with this whole question was that I accepted that this is a progressive disease, that I was clearly a marijuana addict. I knew that. There was no question about that. And that I kept, if I continued drinking, then it's probably because of the progression that craving would end up showing up for booze as well as marijuana. So, it's definitely a good idea not to do either drugs. So I got clean and sober. There was a couple relapses, always on pot, just for a day. And, I wanted my sobriety. And when I relapsed, I felt bad and shameful. But I came back the next day. I called my sponsor, said, "Hey, here's what happened." And okay, we'll start back on step one. And we did. And he didn't judge me for that. And the reason is we're addicts. We do these things. I know some people say, "Gee, why did I relapse?" And I kind of asked myself that question. But when I heard the answer was, "You're an addict," it's like, "Oh, yeah, duh." And that just kind of cemented that, I can't do this on my own. If I had not valued my sobriety and I am not had not come back the next day, who knows how long it would have been before I came back, if I came back. And that's an experiment I don't want to try. I also discovered that my relapses were after doing step three. So there's probably some fears about the fourth step. And it was clear that I could not be drinking or using and do the fourth step. Those were mutually exclusive. So eventually I stayed sober. I did my inventory. I shared it. And for the first time in my life, I got the revelation that I actually have a piece of the action in the stuff that happens to me. And up till then, I thought, the world was doing it to me. That was just my outlook. And it's only through working the steps of this program that I discovered a different truth. When I was about a year sober, and I was outspoken about my real drug of choice in meetings that were where it was acceptable to talk about it, and in other meetings I just didn't. But people I hung out with knew my drug of choice, and someone said, "Did you know there's a Marijuana Anonymous program?" I said, "No shit." So I looked it up and I went, and my first meeting of MA was an emotional catharsis. I got to that meeting, identified myself as a pothead, and instead of just this intellectual, well, if I substitute the words, I belong here, there was an emotional connection to everyone in the room because we all had the same drug of choice. And that was kind of, for me, it was an emotional acceptance of step one, or understanding or experience of it, probably the best way to say, rather than an intellectual experience of it. So, again, as I look back on that, I can say, gee, the power of the group is incredible. We have some shared experiences that are very fundamental, and the connection that comes from that is, there's nothing like it. Ended up meeting a woman in program, and we dated for a while, went together, got married, and we are still married today. I still didn't know how to be in a close, intimate relationship and really share myself. And I know it's said that, inside every alcoholic and addict is a codependent, and certainly true in my case. I've gone to therapy, we've gone to couples therapy, and we're working on those codependent issues and making a lot of progress. And there are times when I was in therapy before I got so clean and sober, and times I've been in therapy after. And before sobriety, therapy was kind of useful to just tide me over, kind of comfort the woes of the moment. But I can honestly say I never really dealt with any issues in therapy then. Therapy, while being clean and sober, is entirely different. I do deal with issues. I take what's offered, and some of it fits, some of it doesn't. That's okay. I get to choose that. And it's actually profoundly useful nowadays. I'm also involved with some men's group outside the program. And to me, the biggest learning, I'll back up. I went through some cash register amends, kind of the first ones. They're easy to do. The relationship amends are far more difficult. What I'm finding is that I have a lot of shame over choices I've made in my life. And until I, first of all, got the wherewithal to just feel the shame and sit with it, and be in some groups where I felt safe to share my shame with others. That, to me, has been the key to opening up emotionally to other people. I'm afraid that if I really told you who I was, you wouldn't want me, you'd reject me. And then, that's certainly a common fear. My experience is it also goes to, if I really disclosed to myself how I felt, I wouldn't like me. And yeah, I don't like the shame. I don't think anyone does. And again, before sobriety, I'd wallow in self-pity. Now that I'm clean and sober, I do that a little bit, but not very much. Much more inclined to go with the feeling, let it come up, not push it away, not draw it in, just let it be there. It flows through, it passes, and, I get enriched from that experience. I also, from those experiences, get the, as I share that with other people that I've already determined I can trust, and that's an important thing, because not everyone, I can't trust everyone, and it takes some time to figure that out and to develop that trust with people. But with people I can trust and do trust, when I share those feelings and I'm not judged, there's the acceptance from that is profound. And I'll go back to the God, higher power question. I still don't know what God is. I keep trying to develop that relationship, and a lot of it is, just making the decision. Kind of fake it till you make it on prayer and meditation is a good one. What I have not done consistently is a daily practice of prayer and meditation. And I know that that's kind of the right thing to do. I've heard others say that, gee, I had the same doubts. They said, I'll give it a try and see what happens. And, they ended up developing a conscious contact. So it's up to me to decide when I actually do that daily practice. I'd say I'm on the threshold of it. And partly by admitting that I'm not there yet, that helps me to get there. I certainly have heard the benefits from others, and it's a matter of saying, hey, I'm worth those same benefits. I'm going to do it for myself. They say sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. I'm clearly in the sometimes slowly category on a lot of this stuff. What I can say on the flip side is that I haven't given up. I keep pursuing. And that is, perhaps just as important as doing it. I mean, doing it is really where it's gonna fit, but not giving up is a key. And life is not easy. As we say in our program, this is not an easy program. Well, life isn't easy either. What I find is that life is simple. I can make it out to be very difficult. I can complicate the hell out of things. But when I seek guidance and share things and listen to suggestions and follow them, turns out a lot of this stuff is actually fairly simple. We just have to get over whatever blocks we've personally put in the way of dealing with them. The perseverance and not giving up is a key to my program. I would not want to go back to life as it was. I did not have a clue about a lot of things, and now at least I have a clue about some things, and I can acknowledge that I don't have a clue about others rather than being in the dark about, oh yeah, I've got everything figured out, but I really don't. It's like in the past, it's like I'm supposed to know everything. I've heard of shame, talk about shame that should have mastered everything, should have already mastered everything. And yeah, that's certainly my default way of thinking. But it's unrealistic. It doesn't work, and it actually doesn't serve. I, along with others, get to change that programming and do something that's a lot healthier. Do a lot of things that are a lot healthier, and it all starts with this program. I'd also, while the program is the basis, there's also for me, outside help has been vital to deal with specific issues, therapy, men's groups, stuff like that. And there's a lot of interdependency between the two, but fundamentally, program, working the steps, staying sober, without that, the rest of it's not going to happen because I'm not going to be available for it. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to you folks and say, keep coming back. It does work.